Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Jimmy Barnes, the Lost Boys for you. Yeah. Candy, I love having you on the show.
Oh, no, dude, same, I know. Off the air, I was like, we are both 14-year-old boys in our
head. We 100% are. I don't know who that's worse news for, though. Worse news for
your
you or
wife.
For me.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
I know, I married one. We're in our 50s.
And my wife is, like, out of our group, the responsible one, so... did you happen to see what took place at the Jay City Council the other day? They were having their meeting. It might, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. Jay, just so you have some understanding, and this is going to sound like a criticism, and I don't really mean it as such, but Jay is just a little teeny tiny town, right? I mean, you know, it's one traffic light, right? And, you know, part of the historical, architecture in the town is a broken down building with like a garden built inside of it, right? I mean, if you ever go to Jay, it's a great place. The people are wonderful, but it's a small town. So you remember the story that the woman who had been proposed to be the town manager, not a city, the town manager take over for the retired former town manager, April Watson, when she had been a teacher in Santa Rosa County. She and another woman had done all you can do with 17-year-old students, right? You know, so... That's the background. Served her time, reformed, allegedly. I don't pretend to know the woman or anything like this. And then she had been proposed to be the next town manager. And when people became aware of this, because the P&J had reported it, and they may have known already, but, it kind of became a thing. All of a sudden people were like, how can you let somebody like that be the town manager? We can't trust predators, kind of the idea, we don't trust, if it were a man, would you trust him? Well, why is it different if it's a woman? Well, men and women are different, and we have different expectations and judgments of them. But this had all come to a head when the city council had a meeting on actually ratifying her into that position. And what never, ever, ever happens in Jay is the whole city council chambers, all one bedroom size that it is, was completely filled. There was like 50 people and standing room only, and people were worked up about this. You can't just go online and watch it because they don't video them. I know because Greg Potowski from the P&J was there and he shot a video, shared it on Facebook. The Jay as a town barely has a website. I mean, just for to understand kind of what we're dealing with. They do put all their agendas up, but it's all the minutes after the fact, but there's no normal resources you can go there. I mean, there might be a recording. I don't know. So Greg Pekowski put up this. Greg's awesome. He's a photographer for the PNJ. He's the one that's my height. he's the one that runs around. He's like at all the things. Great guy. Anyway. So people showed up, I think it was yesterday, in great force to protest, object, or whatever. Now, the thing to understand about this is that gang is a little bit strong, but who's the group of troublemakers in Santa Rosa County that shows up at everything and protests all the time and complain? The Pitchfork Posse, right. I sometimes wonder if I should come up with even a different name because maybe that's giving them a little bit too much credit. It's the busybody gaggle. It's the group of people who think that they run the county and they have a say about everything and they always want to talk. And it's, Jerry Cooey and Sherry Chapman and Pam Mitchell. And there's several, Cindy Smith is kind of sort of sometimes with them, Teresa Messick and all of them. Anyway, it's a group of people and you see them show up at all these meetings and pretend that they know everything about everything. And they don't. And they say sometimes the most outrageous things. So a lot of this yesterday had to do with people who are not residents of Jay showing up and expressing their outsider outrage about what was going on in the town. And it's not that you can't have an opinion. I mean, look, I don't live in Santa Rosa County. I have a lot of opinions about Santa Rosa County. I mean, it is kind of my job since we're licensed to Gulf Breeze, and I'm supposed to be the news reporter and commentator on the things of these two counties. But, you know, what makes me different from them? Well, I'm, you know, you be the judge. You have to make decisions. But the point is, a lot of this packed out town hall and participation, or packed out at City Hall and participation that was going on, again, I think yesterday, was led by a group of people who are sort of, I don't want to say professionally because that would mean they get paid for it, but, you know, like, their lives are spent going around and having their say in the public forum at these events. And Cindy Smith is one of these people, and she's going to talk. And the other voice you're going to hear here is going to be Sean Owens, the mayor, who I believe ran for District 3 representative. That's the seat that Nathan Boyles currently occupies, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, I think I've met Sean once or twice, talked to him anyway. And so this is his interaction with her over the April Watson being made the town manager. And, you know, I've kind of had my comment about this in the past. I said, I don't exactly know what the right answer is. Part of me wants to say people can change. Part of me wants to say there's no rule prohibiting her. If she does the job, she does the job. I don't want to see felons of any sort be prohibited from being able to have functional lives, because is that a good thing for us to have a bunch of people who can't get jobs and can't do them? You know, is a representative of government the kind of person that you want to have a felonious pass? They're not easy questions, okay? They're just not. So I get that there's a discussion to be had here, but, you know, part of the question is, do the people of Jay really care, or is it the people in the county who have made it their business to care about something that isn't really any of their business? Okay, so here's Cindy Smith challenging kind of the council and, you know, asking them and talking with Sean Owens, the mayor, and then you're going to hear a lot of the rest of the crowd jump in.
As 7-year-old victim myself.
As having been a victim myself, she says.
Oh, a 7-year-old victim myself. Have any of y'all been sexual abused at a small?
Have any of you all ever been victims of sexual abuse of any kind? Okay. And again, this was a teenage, 17-year-old and an adult teacher. And then they're talking about she was 7. And then Sean Owens is going to say when he was 5.
At 5 years old, I was sexually affected by another man.
You know,
yes, ma'am, I have.
Okay.
I know exactly how you feel. But you know what I did? I moved on.
I'm a victim. April Watson's victims may have not moved on. You cannot speak on their behalf.
I can't speak on their behalf. And I'm not. She asked me, was I or anybody here? Yes, I am. That's
okay.
And you tried to warn her by saying
you moved on, so That's not true.
That's not what I meant.
And I know some of it's a little hard to hear, but essentially Sean Owens is saying, yeah, when I was 5, I was a victim and of some kind. He doesn't go into the details, and he doesn't need to. And I've moved on, which is, you know, when I heard it, I thought that's a little bit of a challenge of, hey, we need to all, you know, move on and, you know, not dwell on these things. And then somebody in the crowd yells, well, her victims may not have moved on. And then there's a lot of back and forth about what they should do. And did he tell people that they shouldn't care about what happened in the past, or was he just expressing it for himself? He kind of get the tenor of this. All the other usual suspects from the Pitchfork Posse, you know, Sherry Chapman, Jerry Cooey, you know, had their speaking. The PNJ, Tom McLaughlin, who writes for Santa Rosa County for the PNJ, you know, wrote all about it. I did think that it was, if you read to the very bottom of the article, Sean Owens grew disturbed with Jerry Cooey's comments that the decision not to make the hire with a large group of people present amounted to kicking the can down the road. They did vote 4-1 to delay the decision, okay? Mayor said Jay had done just fine without a city manager in the past and could operate that way again. And then this is Sean Owens, quote, you've been, to Jerry Cooey, I presume, you've been up here one time in 10 years, maybe. You have absolutely no idea what we do up here. That's, wow. and for context, I don't think that's probably accurate, if only because Jerry Cooey ran for District 3, which Jay is in District 3. So, anyway, he said Cooey and others have been opining that the hire Watson would be a terrible thing, yet then they complained when the council decided not to act on the town manager hire. And Sean says, Mayor Owens says, we couldn't even satisfy you today, no matter what we did. The last part he didn't say, but I think that's kind of implied. Yeah, so they decided to do nothing, to just wait and put it off and decide later, which, you know, I don't know. It's controversy. It's a small town. Okay. So there you go. I will say, it's not that I want to go watch the town meetings in Jay any more than Century. You know, I don't want to acquire Century as a project either. I sometimes feel like there's enough interesting government decisions, drama, and controversy in the world that I don't need to be expanding my level of interest in things, especially things that are not, I cannot sit at home and watch while I'm doing other work. You know, that's part of the challenge now. But it is an interesting situation. And again, I don't know what the right answer is. I think it's very particularized. You know, knowing this woman, and I know somebody's going to misunderstand this. I feel sorry for people that wind up being the center of political drama and controversy when, even if they've done something bad, you know, they didn't necessarily ask for all that. You know, I think of like Curtis Krebs, the finance director in Milton, who, you know, according to the PNJ, has recently been terminated, actually, as a result of the ongoing questions about the audit and the checking, the accounting procedures that were not followed properly that he says go back decades. Now he blames Ed Spears for at least some of this. And, you know, I feel terrible for these people who have probably just kind of tried to do their job and keep their head down. And then all of a sudden, they're like, they didn't ask for all this controversy to surround them. You say, well, she shouldn't have done what she did with that minor. Yeah, I know. But after that, you know, what would, say, imagine that you did something really terrible in your life and you got caught. Okay? And you got sent to jail and you did your time and then you get out. And, you know, what would you want to do with your life? I mean, all you'd want to do is just like hope to God that nobody ever recognizes you. You know, you just kind of want to find a job, move along, and hope that it doesn't come up, knowing that it will. Okay, but then, you know, you wind up taking a government job. You know, you work in Jay for the city or for the town. And then over time, you know, you get promoted because you do your job well. And then you get promoted because you do your job well. And then eventually you're like second in command. And then, you know, the person at the top's going to retire. And they're like, well, do you want this job? And you're like, sure. Do you think it's going to matter? I don't know. We'll see. And then, you know, like everything goes sideways on you. And suddenly, you know, talk show hosts have never met you in another county are talking about you, and people who have never met you from, you know, out of town literally, but down the road, rest of the county, busybodies are involving themselves in your life and having their say and trying to tell you what to do. And, I mean, it's unpleasant. And, again, I know some people will say, well, it's her fault she did what she did. Okay. But, I mean, what does the Bible tell you? You know, those of you who consider yourself faithful Christian people, what does the Bible say? It says, you know, how many times you forgive somebody if they ask for it, if they admit they were wrong, if they beg you for forgiveness, not seven times, seven times 70. And that's not the answer to all situations. That doesn't mean that you forget and you let somebody have power and authority when they've done something wrong. I'm not saying that answers the question, but there's a teaching, an instruction, a guidance from our Lord and Savior, you know, that we're supposed to be forgiving people. We're supposed to be patient people. We're supposed to recognize that we also are way worse than anybody knows and way worse than even we want to admit about ourselves. And we're way more loved than we deserve. Like, those are both of the truths of the gospel, right? That we're awful, horrible, terrible people who are nevertheless so precious that God would be willing to send his son to die for us. And so you've got to have both parts. And, you know, how you mix that with a system of justice where, you know, you can call for the punishment of somebody, even the execution of somebody who does really horrible things. Well, I mean, that's a difficult balance to strike. So anyway, Jay's in the news. That's the story. And, you know, it was weirdly sad to me to watch this controversy happen. It's a little entertaining at first because, you know, all this stuff is a little entertaining at first. But then when you start to think about these people's lives and, you know, who's making it more of a thing than it really should be and who's really affected by it and who's making these decisions and what kind of pressure they're feeling because of those decisions, I don't know, it just all seems kind of mean to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Feel free to text me if you disagree, 437-1620. You're always welcome to disagree with me or agree. You don't have to disagree. I mean, you can text if you agree too. you like what we're saying or you dislike it. Either way, we take all comers. 525 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, if you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
One of life's greatest mysteries has finally been solved.
Who let the dogs out?
Spruce! Spruce! Spruce!
It's Spruce, the weed and grass killer that's safe for use around people, pets, and bees. When used as directed, spray the leaves for visible results in just 1 hour and dead weeds in just 1 day. You spray, they play. Spruce, pet friendly, weed deadly. Find wherever weed killers are sold.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Pepper, you're a pepper to be a pepper. Drink Dr. Pepper.
Warm sun, feed me up when I'm weary. Loaded up, loathing for a change. And I slip some boil away.
Bush is one of those bands that, like, I actually went to see them in concert, and Machine Head is just a fantastic album. It's a little bit sad to me because their subsequent albums were, you know, like Razorblade Suitcase was okay, and then all the rest of it after that is like, nah.
I like Razorblade in 16. I got to meet them when they were just, like, new and
But I will say this. I never, until I was going and listening to some of their other music, yeah. I never thought of them particularly as like a grunge band, but they absolutely are. Because I tend to think, you know, who are the grunge bands? It's like Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and, you know, Alice in Chains and Candlebox and then Bush. No, Bush is a rock band. No, they're a grunge band. I mean, if you really listen to the rest of
Seattle music. To be grunge. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be from the Northwest. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says on the text line, well said, I appreciate that. Somebody else says, the age of the victims, the boys were months shy of being 18. Neither woman reoffended. I wish people were nearly as offended about, I don't know the other case, but some other case that they're talking about, and I don't want to name names without knowing the facts, as they are about this basically non-event. Yeah, and look, the age of majority is a real difficult topic for our country. I mean, on the one hand, like, we tend to think that anybody under the age of 18 gets treated as a minor, but then if they commit a horrible crime, what do? We treat them as an adult. Okay, well, you know, what do you do with a 17 and 9 months old boy who, you know, does stuff with an adult teacher? Well, you can't say it's okay, but is that different than if the child had been, you know, if the minor had been 12? Yeah, of course it's different. I mean, of course it is. Does that make it okay? No. But dealing with how to assess crimes against people of non-majority age and crimes by people of non-majority age and what rights and powers people of that age have, that's not an easy thing to figure out. We set lines because you have to have lines. But sometimes I think you have to look at those lines and say, can be uncomfortable with the outcome, even if we have to set them.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump returning from the NATO summit.
Every time they hit us, we're going to hit them 20.
The U.S. military delivers.
CENTCOM says it hit about 90 Iranian military targets, including air defense systems, coastal surveillance assets, and missile and drone storage sites. U.S. forces say they are trying to degrade Iran's ability to attack commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz after Tehran hit three ships earlier this week.
Fox's Manuel Rivera, Graham Plattner, out as the Democratic Senate candidate for Maine.
We are suspending campaign operations.
That from his social media page following a number of sexual assault claims he describes as false. And Bonnie Tyler. Best known for that song, dies in Portugal where she lived at the age of 75. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 80 degrees with partly cloudy skies. And we'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola police have made an arrest in connection with that deadly 4th of July shooting downtown. Detectives say 26-year-old Nicholas Safford of Mobile, Alabama, is accused of firing the first shot that set off all of the chaos. Yesterday, PPD also confirming that three separate firearms were used on scene during that incident. Again, one person's been arrested. Detectives are still working to identify the other shooters.
At least three firearms were used on scene that we know now that there were at least three shooters in this incident.
So far, no homicide charges have been filed. Anybody with information is asked to contact PPD or to call Crime Stoppers. Well, the Roger Scott Pool is back in business. The city says 233 people showed up over the holiday weekend when the pool reopened on the 4th, with 195 more people at the Hunter Pool. New hours are now in effect through early August. The pool will only be open on weekends starting August 8th. Through early September. Pensacola's city attorney says the city has no legal standing in the ongoing dispute over the library system's governing board. Mayor D.C. Reeves says that now it's up to Escambia County to decide the next steps in that. Reeves says the city still sees the libraries as a valuable community asset and is ready to talk further once the county makes a decision. A 51-year-old Loxley man has died after a crash in Baldwin County. Happened on July 3rd. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency says James Thompson Jr. was riding a motorcycle when he hit a utility trailer being towed by a pickup truck on Black Devine Road. Troopers say Thompson was attempting to elude a Robertsdale police officer at the time of the crash. An investigation is ongoing. Now, two snorkelers were pulled to safety by Okaloosa County deputies near Destin's East Pass over the holiday 4th of July weekend. The Marine unit responded to a distress call and found the pair struggling in the water before pulling them to safety on the boat. Neither were injured. The sheriff's office is reminding swimmers that currents near East Pass are extremely strong and can be dangerous even for experienced swimmers. The 2026 hurricane predictions have changed. The new numbers, though, do look good for the Gulf Coast. Colorado State University has cut its hurricane season forecast again.
Colorado State University has cut its hurricane season forecast again, predicting just 9 named storms between now and November 30th. That's down from the 13 storms projected back in April. Forecasters say the quiet outlook is tied to strong Saharan dust conditions that are limiting storm development. NHC says no tropical cyclone formation is expected across the Atlantic, Caribbean, or Gulf for at least the next 7 days. For the moment, the tropics remain calm. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And it is partly cloudy and 80 degrees right now. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We will be seeing
seeing about a 30% chance of a stray pop-up shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a 30% chance of rain, high near 91. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Heading into Saturday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 92 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 80 and partly cloudy. Our next news in 30 minutes. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of AstraZeneca fell as much as 9% after a late-stage clinical trial for an experimental heart disease failed to meet its target. The medicine, called Why Now, did not reach its main goal of reducing deaths and recurrent heart-related emergencies over 140 weeks compared to a placebo. The stock is on track for its worst day since 2020. Shares of LuxShare Precision Industry fell more than 5% in their Hong Kong trading debut after the Apple supplier's multi-billion dollar initial public offering, the largest this year in Hong Kong. The company raised just over $3 billion. PitchBook data says that Apple accounts for approximately 70% of LuxShare's revenue. Google broke a search record thanks to the World Cup International Soccer Tournament. The Alphabet-owned company said the World Cup is driving a record in queries per second for Google's search product. Google added that it specifically saw historic highs in queries after Argentina defeated Egypt in the World Cup. Futures are mixed as tensions rise in the Middle East. That's Your Money Now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
As Florida parents, we have a choice about where our children receive their education. I'm a mom of four, and I've chosen Santa Rosa County Public Schools for my family. That's why I'm running for school board. I have a vested interest in making sure our children receive a quality education. I'll be your advocate in our community, promoting transparency, fiscal responsibility, and a brighter future for every student. I'm Jill Broxenteston. I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxenteston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. On the line with us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, as always. Well, let's start with this. Santa Rosa County, well, you know what? We'll come back to that. I know you want to talk about the shooting first, and I know that's the biggest thing that's on people's minds, and I thought you did a good job at the press conference. Of course, Chief Winstrom's done a great job as well, but new things, anything that you want to update us on as far as the investigation goes?
I mean, I could say I have my press conference at 10 a.m. I think we'll have some positive progress. You know, certainly don't want to get in front of any sensitivity of the police department, and you'll be able to hear that directly from Chief. But fact remains that we got an awesome police department and group of investigators working hard on this. We've got a great community that has stepped up and have provided information, businesses providing camera access, all of those things for us to get to the bottom of who the person or persons responsible for taking a life in our city. So I want to assure really citizens of two things. Number one, of course, downtown is completely safe. I went down there myself with my friends on Monday night. So the fact that this is unfortunately and tragically violence amongst familiar people, that this was not a random situation that people may fear in a large gathering. So it was not that. And secondly is I had the utmost confidence that this is why, as I said in the press conference, this is why these types of things don't happen here, is right. Because even the worst offenders and the worst bad actors out there understand that when they do this in Pensacola, Florida, that they're going to get caught and brought to justice. So I have the utmost confidence in that, and I know we'll get to the bottom of it.
And, you know, my job a lot of times is to read between the lines or just read the lines and interpret from them, but it seemed pretty obvious to me from what Chief Winstrom did and did not say the other day that I think – because not a lot of detail about either the incident itself or the perpetrators has been released, other than, you know, what we have known, one perception might be, well, how can PPD not know what happened with all of the cameras and information and witnesses and whatever? And as Chief Winstrom said, number one, the goal is the investigation. You got to protect that. Make sure to, you know, find and identify and prosecute the bad guys. But number two, we will tell you what we can tell you when we can tell you. And I just assume that PPD knows a lot more than they're saying, and that there are reasons that they're not saying more than they are already saying, and that we'll learn what we need to know when we're going to learn it. It's not that they don't know. It's that there are valid reasons why not to say these things out loud. Is that a fair interpretation?
Yeah, I think so. And right, it's not because there's some random desire to not want to give every bit of information, in my case, frankly, to underscore how great our team is, yeah. For the share of the detail, but that would be getting our eyes off of the prize, which is to find who's responsible for this and bring them to justice, because there is sensitive information as things progress, and information that can change as things progress, and so goal number one, two, and three probably are making sure that we don't jeopardize the ability to bring the suspects to justice. So yes, sometimes you can't necessarily say everything that's going on, but there's reasons for that. And again, what I can tell the citizen or the visitor to Pensacola is our team's on top of it, I expect to see continued positive momentum and progression to get this thing to where it needs to be, which is that clarity and justice.
You know, I kind of mentioned at the beginning the Santa Rosa County, a very interesting budget meeting in which, Greg Brown explained that the property tax proposal that's on the table right now to vote on in November that would not have any impact on the school system would gut city and county funding across the state. And, you know, we're talking about in Santa Rosa County, 70% of all homes would become tax exempt under the $250,000 rule, which would mean that all of those people would no longer be paying directly for sheriff, which is, to me, sounds like a defund the sheriff's office proposal, but also for roads and everything, every other kind of service. Milton, it looks like it's plus 90%. And, you know, it's interesting that in the theoretical abstract, people want to save money. I get that. But they also want a massive police response and investigation and professional law enforcement when there's been a shooting downtown. And you kind of have to pick which side you're going to be on these things, right?
That's right. And in city of Pensacola, that doesn't have a Perdido Key or a Pensacola Beach of vacation homes, much less the grandiose explanation that's always been given about, you know, just use the money from second homes all over the state as if every county is Miami Beach.
Right.
The reality is Pensacola is 73%. So when the 250 hits, 73% of properties, of residential properties, will be paying nothing for their parks, nothing for their police, nothing for their fire. And I said it a year ago, it kind of died off when they tried to put language in that protected public safety, which was going to be a whole nother can of worms of how you would even overcome that.
Right.
But now we're back to, and listen, we're having to educate our own public safety employees about this. I mean, that's to show you how confusing it is, and that when you dangle the free money approach in front of so many people and say, well, why don't you take this free money? And I'll tell you what I told the Wall Street Journal that called me. I think the article's out this morning. I haven't even read it yet. But what I told them during the interview at the end was, you know, some retorts to we should have this property tax relief typically center around, well, you know, just tighten your waist belt, or hey, it won't be the end of the world. And I'm like, you're exactly right. Whatever our budget is at the city of Pensacola, we're going to put a budget in a book. We're going to get it, bring it in front of council. And get their approval. The delineation is our citizens are not going to like what that budget looks like. Mm-hmm. And right now, zero people in this state know the answer to that. They don't know what they're going to lose. They don't know what they're sacrificing. So you get the carrot in front of the free money approach, yet you right now, your mayor, your city council, your county commissions have no clue what the net result is going to be. And so when in 6 and 9 months you lose services, or it takes longer at a city to get a permit, or whatever impacts that are going to take place negatively, I can just assure you that the citizens are not going to like their level of service. And that's going to be that's the difficult part of this conversation, but it's a difficult reality. And lastly, I will say on law enforcement, I haven't gotten one email this past week. You know what I've gotten? I've gotten texts of encouragement. I've gotten from people all over this community how good a job our team's doing, if they need anything, from business owners. I have not gotten one text saying I'd like to cut the police budget by 23%. I haven't heard that this week. And so it's a good reminder that when the sky's not blue and we want to feel safe and be safe and bring people to justice, this is a moment as a Pensacolan right now to understand the counterbalance of what we're talking about and the reality that we're in.
And by the way, just in case there might be somebody listening to this and misunderstand, or they're new to the show, or they just, you know, whatever, they know just enough to get a part of the story. I think both you and I agree that if it could be done where we would have a smart approach to eliminating and replacing or shifting property tax burden gradually, some kind of a step down over the course of maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years, and doing it wisely,
right.
I'm all for it. I'm in. It's literally this particular approach that has me so concerned. And that, honestly, all the people who are going to have to deal with the consequences of it if it passes have no ability to say even what will happen, because there are so many unknowns about it. And again, I just, you know, because it's poignant this week, because obviously, you know, when you need law enforcement, you need it. And we have needed it, and we have it. And I would hate to have a situation where we need it and didn't have it. And you mentioned it very much in passing, DC. You mentioned that interview with the Wall Street Journal. They had called you specifically about the property tax thing, right? That's what they were interviewing you about?
Yeah, exactly. Just about, you know, how local governments are responding. And, yeah. And to underscore what you said, that's exactly, again, I don't know what's in the article or what's quoted, but during the interview is what I told them is, we should always be modernizing our approach. If you can show us the analysis of how we can get to a cut, I'm there with you. Meaning that I can go back to my staff and my city and these departments and be confident that with your taxpayer dollars, we are prepared to do the best we can to fill gaps, to make cuts, all of those things. But that's a different assignment you're giving a mayor or a county commission or city council when you know it's been thought through, and that there's a strategy behind it, and there's some science behind what
right.
what we're about to do. What I can guarantee you right now, what you are voting on has absolutely zero science behind it, zero. This was concocted over a long weekend, and the biggest sponsor of it said they're not going to sponsor it anymore.
Right.
The biggest sponsor of it also said, hey, that you shouldn't have to rent your house well, we're sitting here, I'm on this radio interview right now, and you're going to have to pay school board. So,
right.
So you are still running your house no matter what happens. Do you feel better because it's money that goes to the school board if they came and repossessed your house? You're still in the same situation right now versus what was really floated out as this hyperbole about how great this cut's going to be. You'll never have to rent your house again. Well, you already will be doing that. So we were very clear about that, and Wall Street Journal folks weren't even aware that about CRA bonding and what happens to that. It's been bonded against future property tax dollars. So there's just so many questions around this, and I really urge people to do their research of what we're talking about, because not really, frankly, much research has been done to get this to voters right now.
Right, absolutely. And we got months to talk about it, but we certainly will. By the way, I want to remind you that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about related to the shooting, obviously you talked about it in your the press conference, the joint one with Chief Winstrom the other day. I had said that this incident could have happened at some park, at somebody's house, at some club. It just happened to be on the 4th of July, technically the 5th of July, after a big event downtown with a lot of crowds. It also had a lot of young kids, but I did not see this as connected to those things particularly, except through sort of chance and luck. But the conversation is now turning to curfews and, you know, curbing late night bad behavior, especially by minors, which is what curfews would allow. You said you're in favor of curfews. I'm in favor of them. Both the chief and the sheriff are in favor of them. I don't want people to assume that just because we have a curfew, we won't have any bad things happen. But it does seem like that's a better approach, especially with the rising concern around teen misbehavior and flash mobs.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the practical conversation of what does a 14-year-old need to be doing by themselves with no supervision after midnight.
Yeah.
And listen, I think in real practice, curfews like this, curfews are not going to be that officers are going to be in every corner of the city standing outside of a movie theater waiting to catch somebody to walk into their car, which, by the way, wouldn't be covered in the curfew anyway, but you get my point. It's not a gotcha thing. It gives our law enforcement the ability that when trouble is happening, when you have 20 fights, and when you know that you have a scenario, and it's not really even to over-criminalize this in any way. The idea is to be able to stop things before they get amplified and have some remedy to be able to get a 14-year-old kid or 13, or in the case of the other night, maybe even 11 and 12 years old with no parents, get them back to where they need to be, which is at their house.
Right.
We're absolutely going to explore that. There is a state statute on the books already that kind of, as I said, is kind of a template, and individual counties have kind of worked off of that if there's any nuance. Miami-Dade has one, for example. So we're going to absolutely explore that. And yes, and to be clear, I think most people know that, but maybe not everybody. Obviously, we were talking about a curfew for minors. This is not a curfew for everybody.
Right.
This is not a hurricane or a, you know.
It's not martial law, D.C. Reeves style.
But you
said
it's not everybody understood that.
Right. And it's a nip it in the bud. If they are gathering, it gives you a chance to disperse, like in the kind of pre-crime behavior. But it also, if it gets internalized, then, you know, young kids who shouldn't be out at night anyway don't go out, and that avoids those kind of problems as well. I see it all those ways. We're almost out of time. I did want to give you just 2 seconds anyway. The Safety Bollard funding came through, so $1.2 million from the state. So we'll be looking at putting in the Safety Bollards around Palo Fox so we can have an enhanced safety against the kind of thing that we saw in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, and that's where the spirit of that was. After New Orleans, we want to make sure, and especially protecting an investment, and if we want to increase walkability and pedestrian users on a new Palo Fox Street,
right.
Certainly want to keep them as safe as possible. So we appreciate Representative Andrade and the legislature for getting it funded. We're going to go back to the drawing board. We did the Cadillac of here's everything possible. That was kind of in the low twos. But this has always been the intent, is let's find how much funding there is, and then what is practical. And so our police department and public works will work through that. And we'll have some updates here in the coming weeks.
Outstanding. We always like to end with a kind of a lightning round or quick questions for you. The first one for you is it too cold in the grocery store?
No, it's difficult for it to be too cold for me in most places. Yeah, so maybe an airplane is the only time I ever can feel that way.
You guys have dogs? I can't remember. Do you have dogs?
Yeah, we got one.
Okay,
yeah.
A dog on the bed or not on the bed?
Well, my dog Leonard woke me up twice on the bed last night, so I would be
dog on the bed.
I'd be a lying politician if I told you that we had that the type of discipline around this house where the dog is in its actual bed.
All right, and this is one going back to from Monday that I asked the question: what's the most America movie? Like the movie that if you know somebody from another country wanted to understand America, you'd be like, here, watch this; it'll tell you.
I've been led down this road because I've seen like two articles about it, but it's hard to disagree. Is The Sandlot? Have you been seeing that? Yeah, I've seen a couple articles. I was like, you know what? That actually is. It probably is. If you had to give somebody a briefing of what America's like, or at least a young kid, or Americana, that might be it.
No, that's a pretty good answer. You are killing me, DC. All right, DC Reeves, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll look forward to the meetings next week, the agenda review in the city council meeting. Of course, we'll talk to you next Wednesday, and we'll listen to the press conference later on this morning. Thanks, as always, for the time, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
Always. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. If you need any kind of work done in your home on the complicated systems like the plumbing or the air conditioning, the heating, the electrical, a generator installed, maintained, whatever the case may be, Peden takes care of all of that stuff. You know, started pretty small with just air conditioning in Panama City in the summer of 1969, which kind of makes sense. Robert Peden thought, I can make a living out of this. Over time, expanded product lines to include all the things I mentioned today and even geographically. West to Pensacola, they've been in Ellison Field for a long time. East to Tallahassee, even into the Eastern time zone. And then west again, more recently in the last couple of years, into Baldwin County and even into Mobile across the state lines into Alabama. So two counties, two time zones all across the Gulf Coast. Peden will take care of you with good products, good people, installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee. And this spring, get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That includes scheduled maintenance, priority service, so you go to the front of the line when they're real busy, and 15% off any repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
If you've lived in Pensacola long enough, chances are a piece of jewelry in your life has passed through Beret. An engagement ring, a family heirloom, a necklace that needed a little extra care. For 40 years, Beret Jewelers has been the place locals bring the pieces that matter most. From custom designs to expert repairs to rings that start new stories and more, Beret does it all.
Millions watch the Blue Angels every year. Thousands line Pensacola Beach, but almost nobody gets to fly with them until now. Climb into a full-scale replica FA-18 Super Hornet cockpit and experience the thrill of flying the slot position with Blue Angel No. 4. Hi, I'm retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the National Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You're cleared for takeoff in the only experience of its kind in the world at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Visit NavalAviationMuseum.org to plan your mission today.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
There are way too many part-time agents in today's real estate market. Agents who don't do the simple things, communicate effectively, negotiate firmly, and prepare strategically. I am Vinny Matassa with Kana O'Donovan Real Estate. I cover the greater Pensacola area, and I will be there for you during your real estate journey. Don't buy or sell anything in Pensacola or the surrounding areas until you call me. I am Vinny Matassa, and I want to be your realtor. Find me at soldbyvinnyfl.com. That's soldbyvinnyfl.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details. News Radio 92.3.
Hey, you want a s'more?
S'more what?
No, you want a s'more. Okay. I haven't had anything yet. So how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up!
You're killing me, Smalls.
Nobody ever quotes the rest of it. You know, we never hear the rest of the quote, but it is a great movie. I'm glad I love it when, you know, you get reminded of things. You're like, oh, yeah. Kind of 80% of my show.